Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. This is Patrick Johnson, your host today, and I am so excited to be with you all listeners this Saturday morning, but also here with Catherine Hammond. And Catherine and I go way back. It's what? 15-ish years, something like that.
Something like that.
Catherine's been deeply entrenched in this community for a long time in service to the community as an estate planning attorney. And her trajectory has evolved over the years and has just been beautiful to watch and to be a part of. We work very closely together. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I wanted to have Catherine on the show is because, as listeners know, we, with these shows, try to add value to listeners in one of the dimensions of well-being: health, wealth, wisdom, and there are subcategories of each of those. But today we're going to be leaning into the wealth dimension. But the reason that I really wanted to speak with Catherine is because while she is an expert, certainly, in the arena of estate planning and the wealth dimension, she brings an enormous amount of wisdom into that dimension. And so I wanted her to speak her heart about what is estate planning and how is it that people should relate to the more tactical dimension, but then what is the heart aspect that people need to bring in, and what are a few things that listeners can take away from the show that will help them as they consider employing this in their own lives and the best ways to approach it that goes beyond the tactical. And before we do that, I think your story is fascinating, and I think it's always great for us to spend just a couple of minutes learning a little bit about the human side of the tactical practitioner, the wise practitioner, which I hold you out as right now in the estate planning space, but the heart behind why you're in this space and what got you into it. Do you mind just giving listeners a brief introduction into your history with why estate planning?
Not at all. It all goes back to the moment when my mother, when I was about 12 years old, handed me an article that she had cut out of the Denver Post about Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And she hands it to me and she says, "I think I have this." And I, of course, being the know-it-all, sassy young adolescent, was pretty sure that she didn't have this crazy-sounding disease. She was just crazy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when I was in college, she was put on disability from her job as a special ed teacher. By the time I graduated college, she was no longer able to live on her own. So at 22, I found myself in a lawyer's office on the other side of the conference room table, having to ask for help piecing my mother's life back together. And at that point, because my mother hadn't done any planning, like most people, 65% of Americans have absolutely no written estate plan. My mother was one of those. And so I had to go through a very messy, very expensive process to get conservatorship and guardianship over her. And then we spent 20 years in the care system, mostly nursing homes. She was about 11 years in a vegetative state, and then finally she passed away. So that planted a seed in my heart. I, as I mentioned, was on the other side of the conference room table, and I wanted a way to make good from what life had brought me. And I saw going to law school and helping others, holding their hands through the legal process, as a way to honor my mother and use this, make lemonade from my lemons. And what I discovered very quickly is that people don't have to go through this. I thought I was just going to hold people's hands through the legal system. But the legal system is optional when we become disabled and when we die. And so my passion has really become educating people about how the system works so that you can make informed decisions about how you want things to go for your family.
Yeah. And over the 15 years together, you've done, and your team has done, a lot of just community workshops, educating other professionals in the financial world and beyond. And really, that heart of education can be seen in your practice. And then I'll submit that as a tenured financial advisor, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different estate planning attorneys. And Catherine and I have worked so closely and so well together for so long, because one of the things that I admire most is the education that you bring in on the back end of the engagement. You're not just there for the front end. And this isn't a pitch for Catherine. I'm tapping into that, the heart behind this, and trying to illustrate for people the uniqueness of this offering and the person that's going to be sharing wisdom with us today in the wealth arena. But it's the firm is really there for clients after the engagement. They take care of the tactical, and they ink the estate, but then they make sure that the clients are coming in for reviews, and they're educating them ongoing on an ongoing basis about tax changes and things in the legal landscape and just about well-being in general. So, and that, of course, is where I'd love to take this show if we flow there naturally together. And she's smiling because we both really just get excited about people leaning into their overall well-being, the true wealth, their real dimension of peace.
Absolutely.
So, but before we get into that, which I feel like there's a flow toward that, and we're both like, energy's coming up, this is good. But tell me how you define estate planning. If you were just to put a succinct kind of qualifying sentence or two label on it for listeners, what is that?
So most people think of estate planning as a will and a trust. Maybe if they're savvy, they're going to think about a power of attorney and medical directives. All of those are important, but that is not an estate plan. That's a part of an estate plan. That's a reflection of part of the estate plan. The estate plan is the holistic design of a plan that will take you where you want to go in those moments if you become incapacitated and when you die. So it incorporates legal documents. That's part of how it's carried out. But it also incorporates a look at all of your assets. It incorporates a look at what succession looks like to you, especially if you're a business owner. And most importantly, it incorporates your values and your relationships. And most people end up drafting, signing estate planning documents that simply make a transfer of assets to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So yes, your bank accounts, your retirement accounts go to the next generation. That's lovely. But it happens most of the time in a vacuum without really thinking through, how do I make this truly a gift? How do I create an opportunity for the next generation, rather than just handing them a check for money so that they don't have to work? And the average client, let's say the average client is maybe a $2 million estate. Somewhere between $2 and $5 million is probably our average client. We have a lot of clients with more money than that, a lot of clients with less money than that. And in that spot, most people think, you know, if I die and I leave $1 million to each of my two kids, it's not going to ruin them. That's, you know, enough money to make a minor difference, and that's all good, without thinking through what do they want that money to actually do in the next generation's lives. And how, because it's all related to legacy.
Is this a good time to insert for illustration, the George Washington story?
Oh, yes.
I love this story. So let's go there.
Yes. So George Washington set a great example for this that I think most people don't even know about. He didn't have any of his own children. He had only stepchildren. And he had his will drawn up. He actually ordered special paper from Philadelphia to have his will written on.
Wow.
And he had nephews, and he wanted to leave some things to his nephews. So he left his swords to his nephews.
Wow.
But he didn't just say in his will, you get my swords. Mm-hmm. He said, I want each of my nephews to receive my swords, and this is how they will be used. They will only be raised for self-defense or in defense of our nation. Hmm. And by doing that, he was saying, this is who we are as a family.
Yes.
Not just, here's a sword, you go use it however you want. This is who we are as a family. And that's a huge vacuum. Like we used to be so much more integrated and connected to our ancestors.
Yes.
And these days we have a lot more geographic distance and more emotional and mental distance. What a gift to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, to your nieces and nephews, your great-nieces and nephews, to know who they are. And a good estate plan is going to pass that along with the assets.
Love it. I mean, that just illustrates the point perfectly. Mm. So we've got a couple minutes before we go into break. I would say, I mean, it makes sense that everybody has this. It's important. But what would you say is one of the biggest obstacles for people, to people taking action mm-hmm. and pursuing this?
The single biggest obstacle is the P word, procrastination.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We all know that we're going to die. We just don't think it's going to be today. And so we think, I'll get around to that tomorrow. But tomorrow never actually arrives, right? It's always one more day away. So we keep, you know, and nobody
it's not
really.
Urgent.
Right.
It's not, yeah. Right.
Until we get a diagnosis or sometimes when, you know, there's another diagnosis in the family or a death in the family. But most of us think, I've got more time. And it applies to your estate planning documents, but it applies to the softer parts of estate planning as well. I ask every one of my clients to write letters to their loved ones for when they're gone. Those letters and those conversations to convey the love that you have for the next generation, we only have so much time to have those, to leave that legacy of love. And we don't know how much time that is. So you either do it now while you can, or you risk not being able to do it and leaving a mess for your family, like I had, and leaving a vacuum in terms of your legacy. And most of our clients, and we have very similar clients, we have a lot of mutual clients, most of them are very interested in passing a real legacy to the next generation.
Yeah, and that procrastination is true. It's almost worth the process and the fees to get it done. Yes, the tactical and handling it all, but just to go through the exercise of leaning into what you want your legacy to be. What is your why? It will inform the rest of your living years too, when you have to lean into that. And so the process that you encourage clients to go through to get in touch with the why behind the tactical is so important and of great benefit while alive. So it's not like this is just post-death stuff, death of grantor stuff. This is stuff that can enhance your well-being now, really leaning into what you're all about, what your family's all about, how you lead them for your remaining time here. It's beautiful. So
Right. We're
going to go into a break. That's a great stopping point, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Hi, this is Patrick Johnson, and I want to take 1 minute here at the break for a personal note and a request. I've been having a lot of fun creating the show for you each week, and it's a pleasure to interview interesting guests about important topics and provide content which I hope will enhance listeners' overall well-being. And as you might imagine, I'm very intentional about how I spend my life energy, and I spend a lot of time working on this show for you. And I'm also very intentional about how I spend my hard-earned money, and I pay a hearty sum for the airwaves each Saturday morning. This is both energy and time, which I have delighted in investing thus far. But here's the thing, we're around 20 shows in right now, and I have no sense for the show's audience. It is apparently impossible to accurately track listeners. So I simply don't know whether this is a good use of my energy or finances. And as a committed steward of both, this bothers me. So the Healthy Wealthy Wise show is one of many activities Wealth Partner promotes in an effort to help make the world a better place. And I just need to determine if this effort should be prioritized over the others. So if you're willing, I'm simply asking that you help me gain a bit of clarity around all of this. Please visit the Wealth Partner website and just say hi. Let me know if you're enjoying the show and perhaps even submit any topics you'd like to hear conversation about. Our website is wealthpartner.com. That's WELLTH partner.com. So that's it. Thank you for listening. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Healthy Wealthy Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, we're back. And Catherine and I, in the first half of the show, talked about her background, what brought her into estate planning, the heart behind the firm. And then we ended up drifting toward conversation around the importance of bringing your why into your estate planning, which is your legacy and what you want to see your stored life energy do post-death, meaning the dollars and the assets that you've worked hard and accumulated over the years to do by way of continuing your legacy post-death, but then also the benefit that you get from leaning into those considerations while you're alive and getting clarity about how you want to live the rest of your life. So it was kind of a fun place to end, and we started dancing around this broad theme of just how those exercises, the estate planning, the tactical exercise of estate planning that everybody procrastinates on, can actually benefit your well-being today, the well-being of you, your spouse, your kids, your broader family. And I just thought it would be a fun question to kick off this segment with. How do you see in your practice, and you can speak about your practice specifically or just more broad with estate planning in general, but I think it's more how you do it and how your firm does it. How do you see people's well-being impacted through the process? And what jumps to mind when I say that? It could be beneficiaries, it could be grantors. Where do you want to go with that?
Yes. Well, let's start with our clients, the people who put the estate plan in place. Before they even sign the documents, when they have the first conversation with me or another attorney in my office, and they decide to move forward and we start designing their plan, by the time we walk out to the front desk and we're scheduling the meetings for when they're going to come back in and sign, they are like literally looking lighter, their shoulders have dropped, and they say universally, I have this sense of peace of mind. And they haven't even signed the documents because they know that they're finally taking care of something that has been nagging, you know, behind that nagging voice behind their head for years. And so they have a huge relief and a big sigh. And that starts the ball rolling with the well-being that then spreads throughout the family because, you know, the difference between somebody like me whose parent did not have her affairs in order, and the heartache and the headache that I had to go through just to take care of her. Like, I couldn't focus on taking care of her and being with her as much as I would have liked to because I was so busy trying to, you know, wrestle with the legal system and take care of all of the things that weren't easy because of the lack of a plan. So It starts with the clients themselves, and then it rolls down to whoever is taking care of things for you. If you're incapacitated, are they going to be able to step in and simply take care of things in a tragic situation, you know, probably a brain injury or a stroke or dementia, and be able to just step in? Or are they going to have to jump through a whole bunch of legal hoops in order to step in, which means there's less being with you? And then it rolls down to your beneficiaries, the people who are going to receive the money when you're gone. Yeah. How easy do you want to make it for them? And what difference do you want whatever assets you're leaving to them to make in their lives? Because most of us don't want our loved ones simply to have a bank account. We want them to have better lives, right? And that's part of the peace of mind that people have when they start the ball rolling. They think, oh, this is going to make my loved ones' lives better.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I think that well-being, another way to frame that is peace of mind. And, you know, Wealth Partner, our tagline is your peace, our purpose. It's a, it is ultimately your well-being and ultimately peace in spite of any circumstances. But I've seen the circumstance of stress around money impact people's peace so dramatically over 30 years of my career. And what you're talking about with that lightness of being that people have when they've just put some thought and energy into it, it just lightens the burden. And to the extent that you can enter into that experience with them, with their planning for the long term and help lift that burden, well, they're incrementally that much more free to be their fullest expression of self. And I say the same thing to my clients. I say precisely that. If there are financial burdens that you're carrying, if I can help lift those, then you're more free to be well in your soul, to be more at peace. Yeah, it is amazing, the relationship with money and legacy, and how that is like this weight on our being that we're often just not even aware of. Mm-hmm. You know, just not even aware of it. And just to go through a process of talking about it makes you feel lighter because you're being proactive. And personal sovereignty is a deep part of our wiring, I believe, as human beings. And it just gives you a sense of personal sovereignty, and I'm getting on top of this, and I'm tending to one of my core values. So
absolutely. And that's a great word to bring into the conversation, the core values, because so many people go to an estate planning attorney or maybe go online to download some documents thinking, what I need is a document that says will or trust at the top. Mm-hmm. I'll just sign that and I'll be good to go. But the core values have to, your core values, not somebody else's, not whatever your attorney thinks, your core values have to be integrated into the way that things will go, the way that your money will be managed if you're incapacitated, the way that decisions will be made if you can't make your own healthcare decisions anymore. And your core values need to be integrated into the way that the money goes to the next generation, wherever it's going to go. And most people don't even think twice about where it's going to go. Well, of course, I'll just split it between my two kids. And they miss the opportunity to think about the things that are near and dear to their heart, both for their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, or nieces and nephews and great-nieces and nephews, but also the causes in the world that they could point a little bit of money towards that would make a huge difference and would never be missed by your children.
Yeah. Yeah. Values are so key. Just being in touch with what you're all about and your why. And I don't know if any listeners have read my book, but we took some time, my wife and I, just to qualify core values, because they provide a North Star, because circumstances can change your decision rubric very quickly. But if you have a core set of values that are the North Star for decisions, it's immensely helpful. And so just crystallizing what those are and bringing them into your estate planning, bringing them into your family conversations, really letting your family's narrative be crafted around those values, your why as a family is exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And this is why we've worked so well together for so many years, because it lights both of us up. Mm. And making sure that money is part of that family conversation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people never speak to their children about money, and then they leave it in their will or trust, and their loved ones inherit it, but they've never had a family conversation about who are we and how do we use money? How do we navigate, manage, steward money?
Yeah. It just needs to, it's one dimension of overall well-being. Mm-hmm. And we in the West we talk about this a lot. And Merriam-Webster defines wealth as abundance of material possessions. That's a cancer in our culture, in my opinion. Wealth's a rainbow. Money's one of the colors. It is truly multidimensional, and each dimension impacts the others. Mm-hmm. It all swirls and whirls together. So if you're a family that has a really robust intellectual life, or maybe spiritual life, or you're really socially inclined, or whatever dimension of well-being is paramount in your family experience, what I've seen in coaching with people, and you've probably seen this too, is that people are willing to talk about almost all the dimensions of their well-being except money. Mm. So do you find, like I find this in my financial practice, and the reason why we do more of the well-being consulting is because once you have talked about your money, it's like this dam breaks, whether through an estate planning lens or through a wealth management and investment management lens. It's like you're looking at your money, you're willing to talk about it because it does touch and it informs all those other dimensions of your well-being meaningfully. And then you put the cultural overlay and the cultural narrative of how important money is. And it really defines our level of success as defined by our culture anyway. It's just loaded. It's just charged. So as you counsel with people, how much of this is coaching and just psychology for you and your engagements? How should people be, you know, your ideal client when they come in, you just want them to go there, don't you? And like, let's talk about money and how it impacts your family and all of your other dimensions of well-being. Do you find that people are ready to go there, or do you find that when they come in, they just want the thing that says trust at the top? Or
so it really depends. And I think my goal when anybody comes in to meet with me is to find out what's really important to them. Right. And so people come in thinking about all of the tactical things, and it seems like money is often the doorway into what's really important to them. And I just led a workshop for our clients last week on relationships and enhancing your relationships with your adult children, because when we open the money door at my conference room table talking about how to transfer wealth to the next generation, people tell me their stories. Mm-hmm. And they tell me their stories of the estrangement with their children and grandchildren. They tell me the stories of what they've said to their children and grandchildren. And I get to see, and what they really want has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with those relationships. It has to do with feeling loved, having the experience of being loved and mattering. And a lot of that comes through money. And so money is an important part of that rainbow, but it's just a piece.
It is. And it's a sacred space. I mean, you and I both have the great privilege as practitioners in this dimension of well-being to enter into that sacred space, have those conversations and hold space for clients to talk about what is important. And this has been fun. We're going to have to do this again. I feel like we're just barely even scratching the tip of the iceberg. So Catherine will be on the show again soon. We are running out of time though. I do want to give you just a moment to give listeners a way to get in touch with you. How is it best to find you?
Yes. Yeah, so our website has a whole lot of legal information, as well as all of the details on our upcoming webinars and workshops, which we offer on a regular basis. So you can call our office at 719-520-1474 or go to coloradoestateplan.com. And we would love to serve you in any way that would be helpful.
Great. Well, I hope listeners receive benefit from this today. It was great being with you. Thanks for being on the show. And thank you all for listening. And we will be back with you next week.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the affecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.